I was dancing. Let me get over here. Let me get over here and stop it before it gets to another song. I forgot what I was doing. I forgot I was working. I was dancing. Yeah, intermission's over. All right, I'm a little hot now because I've been dancing. Let me take off this sweater. Oh, it's nice to take a little break, though, isn't it? And dance and sing and drink water. Oh, good, 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 good. All right. So hello to all of you who are either not watching the Super Bowl or you're watching the Super Bowl and listening to the Awakening Together Sanctuary at the same time. Hi. And we are here now for our member meeting. DVR, Ken says DVR for the Super Bowl. Well, you can't DVR me, but I do record these audios, so who knows, maybe some people will listen to the audios tomorrow when the Super Bowl's over. Maybe I am in my own way being DVR'd. All right, let me pull out my member meeting agenda. First of all, I mentioned earlier, for those of you who were here for the Seven Steps teaching, I mentioned earlier that I spent all day today in contemplation. All day. And it's not very often that I have the opportunity to spend all day in contemplation. You know, usually if it's a Monday through Friday, I do have work tasks. I have classes to teach, things that need to be accomplished. As I mentioned, on weekends, usually my boyfriend is here, and you know, he really likes to play, so we're out doing things. About the only time I really get to spend all day in contemplation is when I'm on retreat. And this is one reason why I love retreat. You know, I got to spend at least half a day in contemplation several days in a row while we were in Santa Barbara. You know, when I go to Tiruvannamalai, I go to India, I get to sit in contemplation for many, 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 many hours with no other responsibilities. I saw that Lisa Hansen just returned from Tiruvannamalai, and she talks about how Tiruvannamalai is in her heart. But I know what she really loves is just that retreat, that not having her work responsibilities, not having her life responsibilities, but really being able to spend all of her time with God. You know, and that's what I got to do today, and it was wonderful. It was really, really, really wonderful. Not a little bit. You know, when I get to go deep, deep, deep within like that, there's no doubt about what I love. You know, I really like hiking. I really like a good movie. I really like good food. But I love God. I love self. I love truth. I loved the heart. Whatever you want to call it, I love that. And just like the song I just played, everything else dims by comparison. And this is why Awakening Together has a capital campaign on right now to create a retreat center. There is no other reason. The other day, someone said something to me about how, yeah, he got a little upset. Now, he did practice the forgiveness on it. You know, I got the rest of the story, so that's good. But he got a little upset because I mentioned the retreat center in one of my posts, and he thought that I was just, he said something like I was just bringing in what I wanted into that post. And I remember, you know, I didn't say anything to him. I didn't get into a discussion with him about it at all, but I thought, I wonder what he thinks I'm going to get out of the retreat center. You know, not the I that would get something, right? We go to the retreat center to realize the true self. And that's not me. That's all of us. That's literally all of us. The retreat center is going to be a place where when we need to, you know, and when you need to and when I need to may not be the same time. But when you really feel that call, I need to go on retreat. I need to step back from my everyday life. And I need to really go in with God. You know, and then receive whatever guidance I receive or realize whatever I'm going to realize or shift in whatever way I'm going to shift. But it's time. I need to go now. You'll have a place to go. It'll always be there. That's the purpose of the Awakening Together Retreat Center. One thing I've learned is that when I use the word retreat center, different people have different imaginations. You know, so like some people immediately thought that we meant a place where there would always be things going on, you know, like always be speakers and workshops. And I think those things will probably happen, maybe, from time to time. I mean, I think those things will probably happen. But the truth is, I don't know that. And I'll tell you why I don't know that. Because when I received the guidance for the retreat center, the heart of the guidance that came in actually didn't say anything about workshops. The heart was people going there and being alone with God, alone and alone, alone, oneself with oneself, alone with God. So maybe when we talk about workshops and stuff, maybe we're wrong about that. Maybe that's just us throwing our own ideas onto it. Or maybe both will happen. But what I do know, because that was in the guidance, I do know that we are creating an environment where everyone can go to go deeper within themselves, like I did today here. So we opened a fundraising campaign on November 11th of 2014. So let's see, we've had December, January, so 2.5 months is all, right? That's not much. Yeah, 2.5 months is all. And we've already raised $6,835.67. That's as of today. $6,835.67, which I think is really nice in just 2.5 months. That shows that there is interest. What we haven't really set yet is a goal for how much we need. I've been watching properties in the Pueblo area, and spring's coming. When spring comes, there'll probably be a lot more properties coming on the market. That's usually what happens. The winter's a little slower. And we started this in November, so we've been looking during the slower period of time. But I have been watching properties, and I found a lot of really nice properties that would fit our needs for this devotional retreat center for below $450,000. And in fact, if you go to the website or to the link that Lynn has already given you, go to donate and then click on Spirit-Led Campaign, which takes you to this retreat center link that Lynn has given you. You'll notice there's a link there on that page where you can click and you can watch Pueblo properties. And this week I divided them into, you can see which properties are under $450,000. And which properties are over. And actually, the majority of the properties are under. There's some really nice ones above 450, between 450 and 600,000. But there's some really nice ones under, too. We also happen to have approximately 450 members. In fact, as of today, we have 443. So we're only 7 members short of 450 members. So $450,000 is kind of a neat number because it's $1,000 per member. I mean, you know, not that everybody's going to give $1,000, and some people will certainly give more. But it's just a nice number, $1,000 per member equals $450,000. That is not an outrageous goal. In fact, if you subtract the money we've already raised, $6,835, from $450,000, you get a number that divided again and again and looked at differently, well, it equals this. If each member gave $10 a week for 2 years, we'd have enough money to buy our retreat center, $450,000. $10 a week. Some people spend more than that on coffee. You know, if you go to Starbucks or someplace like that every day, some of those coffees are $4 a cup, close to $4 a cup. Some of the really fancy ones are even more. $4 a cup, three coffees is $12. $10 a week for 2 years from every member, and we'd have our retreat center. Now, again, I know not every member is going to give. Some members will give this amount. Some members will give less. Some members will give more. Some will give none. But what I like is that it shows that this is really an achievable goal, right? We can have this retreat center, and we can have it pretty soon. And then we can all have that place to go to be with God when we need to go there, which I think is really important to our purpose. You know, our purpose of awakening to self, awakening to truth. I think the retreat center is core to that. We have started a Facebook page dedicated to the retreat center where, you know, hopefully every week I'll share at least some information there about the retreat center campaign. One of the honest purposes of the retreat center page and Facebook is just to help people get excited and stay excited. If you haven't liked that page yet, please go like it. You can find it by just typing in Awakening Together Retreat Center, and then it will pop up before you go any further. I think it's called the Awakening Together Retreat Center campaign page or something like that. But if you type Awakening Together Retreat Center, it will pop up, and then you can like the page. By the way, talking about donations, there are two ways to make donations. You can make donations through PayPal, and you can send a check. If you do not state that your donation is for the retreat center, it will go to the operational budget. So if you really want to make sure that your donation goes to the retreat center, you need to state that. Every donation that you send in saying that it's for the retreat center gets deposited into a separate account that is just for the retreat center. When I gave you that number, $6,835.67, which we've already raised, that number is where people have designated this is for the retreat center. So it's in a separate account. If you're going to send a check, which is really our recommended way, because when you pay through PayPal, they take out fees. So if you, let's say, donate $100 through PayPal, they get $2.50 of it. You know, that's about how it works. Actually, if you donate $10 through PayPal, they get 52 cents. So they get 5% of a lower amount, and they get 2.5% of a bigger amount. Somewhere it kind of changes. So depending on how much you donate, between 2.5% and 5% goes to PayPal, so we don't get the full amount. But if you send us a check, and you write on the check Retreat Center, we get the full amount. And almost most of our donations have come in through checks so far. So people are hearing that, and they're wanting all the money to go to the retreat center. We've had a handful of donations come in through PayPal. But most people are going ahead and writing a check and sending us a check, or, you know, using their online banking to have a check sent. And so that's really helpful. But if you do want to use PayPal and put it on your credit card, if that's just the easiest for you, you can do that. And the way that you make sure it goes to the retreat center is you go to our donate menu on our menu bar, but then you click on Spirit Leg Campaign and donate from that page. If you donate from the Spirit Leg Campaign, it will automatically be marked Retreat Center and we'll know to put it in the special account. If you go through our regular donate process, it won't be marked and it will go into the operational budget. Of course, even then you could probably type in the comments Retreat Center. But if you go donate Spirit-led campaign, and then donate from there, it will be marked Retreat Center. Yeah, and Lynn has just given you that link. Donate now for the Retreat Center. I think I'm about to leave this topic unless somebody has questions. Let me just wait and see if anybody either wants to raise their hand or type a question in the room. So does anybody have a question at all about our retreat center campaigns? I'm just pausing for a moment because I know it takes a little longer to type something in. Okay, I'll go on. If a question does pop up, I'll come back and answer it. So the next thing I want to talk to you about, I think, is new news. It's possible that you've heard about this, you know, maybe even kind of gently mentioned in a couple of places, but it hasn't really been formally announced like it's about to be announced now. So this is new news. And that is that Awakening Together is going to hold a 2015 fall retreat. In fact, that's all I've been calling it so far, is the fall retreat. Doesn't have a fancy name. I don't know if it will get one. It might just stay the fall retreat. It's going to be here in Colorado. It's going to be in Colorado Springs at a lovely place called the Franciscan Retreat Center. I've mentioned this part to you before. What I haven't announced before is who our facilitators are going to be. So we do have all of our facilitators now. I've mentioned that this is going to be three retreats in a row. And you can sign up for one retreat, two retreats, or all three retreats, depending on what you want to do. The first retreat starts on Friday, October 30th, and runs until noon on Sunday on November 1st. So it's a regular evening Friday to noon Sunday retreat. And our retreat leader for that retreat is going to be Jan Frazier. Then beginning on Sunday evening, November 1, and running through Friday lunch on November 6, we'll have a week-long retreat there at the Franciscan Retreat Center, and I will be your retreat leader. And then we're going to have a third retreat beginning the evening of November 6th on Friday, running through lunch on Sunday, November 8th, and the retreat leader will be Bentino Massara. So those are going to be the three retreat leaders. And right now what I'm doing is working on a budget. I've actually created a budget that I love. I love it because I love prices that aren't too high. And so I love this budget because the prices are not too high. They're nice. But there's one thing I have to wait for. We have to wait. We're looking to see if the retreat center is going to charge us sales tax. They told us that we needed a Colorado sales tax exemption certificate in order to not be charged sales tax. And I applied for that certificate and was turned down. I was turned down because Awakening Together is not incorporated in Colorado. It's incorporated in North Carolina. So I wanted to go ahead and apply for a North Carolina tax exempt certificate. North Carolina doesn't issue them. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place here, and that because we're incorporated in North Carolina, we cannot get a sales tax exemption certificate. And if the retreat center charges us sales tax, all of the costs are going to be 7.6% higher. And when I do a budget, I do it so close that if the costs are going to be 7.6% higher, I'm going to have to raise all of the prices, you know. So I'm waiting to see if they're going to charge us that sales tax, or if, because we have a federal 501c3 certificate, you know, tax deduction certificate, which is different than sales tax exemption. But we're asking them if they will honor that, the fact that we are 501c3 and not charge sales tax. We have done retreats before here in Colorado, such as at the Abbey, and they've always honored our 501c3. They've never charged us sales tax. So we've never run into this before where a retreat center was asking for a different certificate. So once we find out whether they're going to charge us sales tax or not, then I can finalize the budget and create the web pages. In fact, I'll start creating the web pages this week and release them so that people can begin to register. So hopefully within the week, I would say at the most 2 weeks, we'll have web pages under our events link on the Awakening Together website so that you can begin to register for these retreats. So almost there, waiting on one thing, one piece of information, and then we can get it done. Does anybody have any questions they want to ask me about the Awakening Together Fall Retreat? And by the way, if you don't know Jan Frazier or Bettino, don't worry. This year I will be, you know, sharing videos and sharing things they've written and help you to get to know them a little bit. Jackie says she's in. She can hardly wait. I think that it's going to be a really good retreat myself. I would recommend it. But I would never plan a retreat that I didn't think was going to be good. That would be a waste of everybody's time. So sometimes I speak at retreats that I don't think are that great. I'm the invited speaker, and I go. But if somebody's really asked me, is this the retreat I should spend my money on this year, I'd say, not this one. Not this one. There are some better ones, you know. So, but if I plan the retreat, I always think that it's worthwhile. I wouldn't offer something that I didn't feel in my heart was worthwhile. And right after I said that, I thought, you know what, we shouldn't hold on to that as a statement that's always true. That is true for this fall retreat. It is true. But actually, I don't plan the retreats alone. I work with a board of people. And there is a possibility that it could occur that they could vote on something and they could plan a retreat that in my heart I didn't think was really worthwhile. So that possibility is there. So I guess I should just, instead of saying always of Awakening Together plans that I, Regina, think it's worthwhile, I think I should take that away. I think I should say, hold on. I think I should say, I think this fall's retreat, that I know, is going to be worthwhile. I know Jan Frazier, I know Bentino, and I know that they both can be very helpful as retreat leaders. And of course, I plan to offer something during the week when I'm the retreat leader that is helpful. Okay, the next thing then, I'll kind of go over this quickly because I have talked about this before. I see Jackie says she's attached to go where she feels loved and accepted. And I think she knows that I love and accept her, so I guess she'll go where I go if she can. I definitely love and accept her, just as she is. All right. So the next thing I'll mention kind of quickly, because we've talked about it before, but there is a retreat coming up in March, March 1 through 7, in Baja, Mexico. And this is a great retreat, I think, for people who like to kind of combine vacation and retreat together. And I know there are people that do that. You know, they have to take a week off from work. They only get 1 or 2 weeks a year, and they want to make sure that they're really combining the two. And that's what this retreat is really going to be good for, because it's going to be at an all-inclusive resort in Baja, Mexico. Jennifer Hadley is the one who planned this. I'm an invited speaker. The other invited speakers are David Hoffmeister, Maria Felipe, John Mundy, and Gary Renard. So if you like all those speakers, another good reason to go. The resort has like 5 pools. It's on the beach. When they say meals are included, it's not like when you go to the Community Miracle Center conferences where they have like this one buffet and we all stand in line for that one buffet. The meals at this all-inclusive resort in all of the restaurants are included. So, like, you know, we can go in different places. I think you can even have meals brought to the pool and eat at the pool. I mean, it's really an all-inclusive resort. All of the food is included. I believe I heard even alcoholic beverages are included. I'm hoping that everybody doesn't get, you know, just sloshed. But I think those alcoholic beverages are included, too. Also, there's a jacuzzi in every room. So this really is kind of where vacation meets retreat. And March 1 through 7, it's still winter in a lot of places, so it's a great spring break. I personally, my intention is to kind of hang out and have a little bit of fun with people when we're not in conference. That is my intention. Also, I have a friend that lives down there, Tay Seaver, and she says there's some really nice devotional churches to go to. And if we can, you know, anybody who wants to come with me, I'm hoping we can actually sneak away from the resort during some free time and go to those devotional churches, because I love devotion, you know, so you'd be invited to join me on that little side trip if we get that opportunity. Also, walking the beach, I love walking the beach. I would probably spend some time just sitting on the beach in quiet. You would be invited to join me in that. So I would say it's a combination of, you know, kind of being in conference with some teaching happening, having some fun, you know, hanging out a little bit, just having fun, and taking time for devotion. So if all of that sounds good to you, this is a retreat you might be interested in. It is time to sign up. It's only a month away now. You can go to our website, awakening-together-events, and you'll see the Baja Mexico retreat. Also, Jennifer Hadley has said they can help people get good prices on airfare. So if you're interested in that, if you go to Awakening Together's website, go, if you look on the, right on the home page, we have this little quick link thing. And there, right on the quick links, let me see exactly what that says in the quick links. Hold on, let me pop over there real quick. Right under the quick links, the very bottom link on the quick links says Our Current News. And in fact, I can just click on that and give you that link right now. Our Current News. If you go to Our Current News and then look at the different posts there, you'll see a post that says Help with Flights to the ACIM Retreat in Mexico. Go look at that, and that is going to tell you what email. Oops, I didn't copy it. That's going to tell you what email address to email if you want help with flights. So again, go to our front page, click on Current News, and that will take you to the right page so that you can get information about getting help with flight prices. And here's the direct link that I'm pasting in the room now for the post with information about getting help with flights. Okay? Another announcement that I have, again, this one's been made before. We have Bhagavad Gita classes that you can register for right now. Only two more days, though. The last day that we're accepting registration is February 3rd. So you either need to register today, tomorrow, or the next day, or you can't register for the class. The Bhagavad Gita is one of my loves. What I think the Bhagavad Gita is really helpful for is it's helpful for people who have a role in life. You know, you're a mother or you work or, you know, some role in life, and you need help staying focused on your spirituality while living your role. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is really good for. The Bhagavad Gita is about not escaping from your role, staying in your role, and yet learning to maintain spiritual focus. It has a lot of teachings about letting go of outcomes and that type of thing that is really, really helpful. I'm going to call it really simple stuff. Simple stuff that we can practice. We can keep right on living our life just as life is and practice the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and reach a very advanced state so that we know inner peace. You know, one thing we can't do is we can't make ourselves wake up. We can't work our way to awakening, really. Awakening happens by grace. But we can work our way to an advanced state of inner peace, which, you know, many people will say readies us for awakening. We heard Jan Fraser the other day when Barb was teaching last week say it was like tilling the soil. And the Bhagavad Gita will help you achieve that advanced state of preparedness while living whatever life you have to live right now with your chores, your tasks, your responsibilities, you know. So if that sounds helpful to you, plus the Bhagavad Gita is just one of the most ancient spiritual scriptures out there. So some people might just be curious about the Bhagavad Gita. Why has it been around longer than the Bible, longer than the Tao Te Ching, longer than Buddha? You know, what has made this little document last so long as a spiritual classic? So if you're interested in the Bhagavad Gita class, again, we're offering it. We have two different times you can sign up for. You can either take the Tuesday night class, which is going to be offered from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Jay McCormick will be the facilitator of that class. Or you can take the Wednesday morning class, which is going to be offered from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And Nikki Dobson will be the teacher. I was the course developer for both courses. It's actually one course, so just two different people offering it. I was the course developer, but Jay will be the facilitator on Tuesdays. Nikki will be the facilitator on Wednesdays. The course is 3 weeks long, and it costs $60. And again, registration is only open through this Tuesday, and then it will be closed. And I do not know when we'll offer the class again. So if you're interested, please sign up. And you can find that on the Awakening Together website under classes. Any questions about the Bhagavad Gita? Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Lynn. Yeah, when you buy, if you decide to register for the Bhagavad Gita, there's a particular translation that we're recommending so that we're all using the same translation because, you know, translations can vary a little. This one is by Eknath Isarwan. You'll find the information written down on the classes page when you read it. But if you get that book from smile.amazon.com, you can have 5% of your purchase price, or 0.05, I think it is, 0.05% donated to Awakening Together by Amazon.com. And in fact, that's not only true if you're registering for the Bhagavad Gita class. If you are ordering anything from Amazon for any reason whatsoever, you can get 0.05% of your purchase price donated to Awakening Together. And your price is the same. It doesn't change your price. This is a part of their charitable giving. I'm sure they take it off of their taxes. So your price is the same, but instead of going to Amazon.com, go to smile.amazon.com, and then you register once, indicate that you want Awakening Together to be your charity, and then every time you order something from Amazon, you go to smile.amazon.com, find what you want to order, order it, pay for it in the normal way. If you have Amazon Prime, you still get Amazon Prime, but 0.05% goes to Awakening Together, so it's a really nice deal. It costs you nothing, but it helps us out. All right, then the last thing I have to share with you is regarding our guest for our February online satsang. As you know, we have a satsang here in the room on the third Sunday of every month. It's at this exact same time. It follows the Seven Steps teaching. So it starts at, let's see, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it goes for an hour and a half usually, so it goes until 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Our guest this coming satsang, which will be on February 15th, 2 weeks from tonight, is Nirmala, and I'm going to type his name in. It's N-I-R-M-A-L-A, Nirmala. And the way I found him is there's a particular spiritual teacher that I really value. And I'm not going to mention who that is right now. But I really value this particular spiritual teacher. And this particular spiritual teacher, it's funny because I'm calling her a spiritual teacher, but she's not at all interested in speaking at retreats or conferences. She's not at all interested in coming into Awakening Together Sanctuary and speaking. She's just not at all interested. So I call her a teacher, and yet, you know, she's just not at all interested in coming and teaching. But I have an enormous amount of respect for her, and she is one of the people that I consider to be one of my teachers. And I did ask her to come for February, and she did turn me down very politely. But there are a few teachers that she respects, just a few. She doesn't have this, I'm not saying that she doesn't respect the others, but, we all can't listen to everyone, right? We all can't, we all kind of tune in to certain teachers. So there's a few teachers that she really respects, that she recommends to people on her website as someone else to listen to. And Nirmala is one of those people. So I had heard of Nirmala before. I had not checked out Nirmala before. But when she turned me down and I knew that he was one of the teachers that she respects, I thought, well, let me check him out. And so I went first to Buddha at the gas pump. I often go there first to check out new teachers. And I watched his Buddha at the gas pump, and I really enjoyed him. And I thought he was very clear, very no-nonsense. He reminded me most of Adyashanti, which is interesting because, as I found out by watching Buddha at the gas pump, he's a friend of Adyashanti's. But that's who he reminded me of. Then I went and checked out his website, and he has a lot of free e-books on his website, a lot of free videos on his website. He's very generous, very giving. And so I emailed him and asked him if he would be our guest, and he said yes, very, very easily. We always offer payment, actually, for our online satsangs. We offer $100, and usually the payment is taken, and that's perfect. We want it to be taken. But occasionally it is turned down, and Nirmala was one who turned it down. He will come, but he will not accept payment. So I want to introduce you to Nirmala with the little bit of time that we have left and give you the opportunity to go and get to know him a little more. First of all, let me share his website with you. It is www, I'll type it into the room, www.com.com. So that's his website, www.endless-satsang.com. Some of you might have heard of his wife, too. He's or a partner. I don't know if they're legally married or not, but his woman is Gina Lake. So some of you may have heard of Gina Lake. I have heard of her, too. I haven't checked her out yet, but I have heard of her. I have a friend here in Pueblo who speaks to Gina Lake once a year and respects her highly. So Nirmala and Gina Lake are partners. And this is Nirmala's website. There's not a lot of information on Nirmala's website about his story. If you go to the About page, he does mention who his teacher was. Let me look that up for you. misspelling again. I can't type and talk at the same time. Okay. If you scroll down to the bottom, you'll find where it says about Nirmala. I'm clicking on that. And it doesn't say much about him, though. It just says, after a lifetime of spiritual seeking, Nirmala met his teacher, Neelam. And I'll type that in the room. That's N-E-E-L-A-M, Neelam. So Nirmala met his teacher, Neelam, and Neelam's teacher was Papaji, which I know many of you know. Neelam was a woman. It says she convinced him that seeking wasn't necessary. And then it just says he had a profound spiritual awakening in India. And then after that, with Neelam's blessing, he began offering satsangs. not a lot of information there. He does mention that Ramana Maharshi is also someone that he considers a teacher. And he mentions that his perspective was profoundly expanded by his friend and teacher, Adyashanti. And I mentioned that he reminds me of Adyashanti. So that's about it for personal information on him. But you will find, if you go to his free e-books, you're going to find there are quite a few e-books there that are available in PDF downloadable form. You can also get them for free on Kindle and iBooks and Nook and some other things I haven't heard of. You can also purchase them if you want the paperback or the audiobook. You'll notice that he has a blog. So, of course, you can read his blog for free. He has a lot of articles there. And then you'll also notice there's an audio-video link where you can watch videos or listen to online satsangs. And there's also more free articles on that link. So lots of stuff here to just check out. What I'm going to do right now, just so you can hear him a little bit, is I'm going to play one of his shorter, it is a video, of course you'll only hear it as an audio, but I'm going to play one of his shorter ones just to kind of let you get a feel for Neelam. This one is called Sudden versus Gradual Realization, and it looks like it's only about 6 minutes long. So here we go. Let me know if I need to make any changes to the sound. Right now, there's just this quiet screen telling us that we're about to watch a portion of a satsang.
So I have a question about realization, awareness.
Yes.
And I've heard it spoken of often in Advaita literature.
Right.
That it comes as kind of a sudden shift in awareness.
Right. It can happen that way.
Okay. I may be under the misconception that it always happens that way.
Yeah.
Because that hasn't been my experience.
Right. So it's not happening that way here, that much we can say, right?
Right. Right. It's not.
So maybe it's happening another way here.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. And I've had an experience of just kind of a very slow, over years, ratcheting up. And
it can happen that way.
Well, that's what I...
If you need proof, here it is.
Indeed.
It can happen this way.
Right.
See, the reason... And even within that ratcheting up, there are probably little jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this is right. It's like oh my god, you know, a sudden shift. It's just not oh my god kind of shift, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very subtle, and maybe something that I realize sort of after.
Right.
Like, oh,
right.
It's often, wait a minute, things are just a little bit different, and qualitatively different.
Right.
When I think about how I experienced reality.
Especially if you compare yourself in the past.
Correct.
Right. So, you know, the reason there's this, like, interest in and expectation of these big shifts is that those are the ones that people write about in a book, right? It's like, you know, when you have a moment of truth that you're not going to waste $49, you know, that's just not like some sort of cosmic realization, you know. It doesn't make for a good reading in a spiritual thriller, you know. So we hear about lots and lots of these big experiences, and we think that somehow that's the way it's supposed to happen, that's the right way, that's the best way, that's the way that, you know, I don't know, that matters.
What's the matter with me?
Yes, right. And so we overlook all these amazing ways that realization unfolds. You know, if you really bring it down to, again, you know, this movement of this spacious awareness, really touching what's here. If you lower the bar low enough, what you see is that all there is realization. All there is being finding ways to realize itself, right? Through thought, through feelings, through sensations, through experiences. And then, like I was just pointing to, you know, there's another, it's almost like a whole nother bandwidth of realization, which is the realization of being something, right? And so it's like being is in the, that's its game, is realizing itself. That's all it's ever been doing. Right? It just turns out that in order to realize When you're something infinite and eternal, you know, in order to realize yourself, you first have to lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you already are everywhere and every when, what's left to realize? It's like you have to first like lose most of that, and then guess what? You can realize a whole heck of a lot. You can stretch it out over years, or you can do it all in one big, you know, big bang approach to realization. I used to joke that, you know, that it's possible. It's just possible, right? That sudden and profound spiritual realization is the spiritual equivalent of premature ejaculation, right? Like, well, then it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now what? You know, now it's like...
Better to take your time.
Yeah.
In your experience, personal experience, and with working with so many people,
yes.
Does realization just continually develop and transform?
I haven't seen anything else, right? Especially if you include this, you know, natural, inherent capacity being has to lose itself, right? It's just being like part of the setup, right? Then, you know, either somebody is realizing something or they're setting themselves up to realize something.
I love that last line where he says, either you're realizing something or you're setting yourself up to realize something. You know, it's beautiful. And we do have time for another one, and I really don't have anything else on the member meeting agenda. So let me just play another short one of the videos that's on his website. Let me look. Some of them are a little longer. I thought I listened to one about pain earlier, but now I can't find it. Isn't that interesting? It's like it disappeared. Oh, here we go. This is the one on pain. He is talking about physical pain here, not emotional pain. You know, sometimes people say, well, what about physical pain? I'm always suffering physically. That's what he's going to talk about in this next one. It's about almost 10 minutes long, so we might not have time to finish it, but let's have a listen.
Okay. Do you do...
Pain?
Extending to pain, like the anger, like to expand outside the body, you give love to give pain, what do you do?
Yeah. So pain, what is it? What's pain? What really, when you experience pain, where is it coming from? Right. Is there any pain right now?
Not much.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's so intense.
So just check, is there any at all right now?
Okay, maybe some at the neck.
Some at the neck, good.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is the sensation in your neck?
Heaviness, tightness.
Right. So just for a moment, if you can, just pay attention to that sensation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want you to check right now, is it actually the same as when you checked a moment ago? Or is the sensation in any way like slightly different?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right. It's like probably like moved a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or kind of, you know, shifted sides, or gotten more intense or less
mm-hmm.
intense,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it has a different quality. You know, before it might have been like sharp, and now it's kind of dull. Yeah. And so when you check now, is it different again?
Every time you check, it's gonna be different.
Yes. Yeah, that's the nature of sensation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just unavoidable. Sensation moves. Sensation changes. So right now, as you really pay attention to the actual sensation you're having, Just tell me, you know, each one that you notice, each way it changes, are any of those actually in and of themselves a bad sensation?
If I say bad, it won't be good for me. No.
But yes, the sensation itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sensation itself is just particular nerve endings.
Mm-hmm.
Firing.
Yeah.
Right? That's totally natural. It's functional. It tells you, you know, something about what's happening in your body. So pain, in order for there to be pain, there also has to be something else. Right? There has to be some kind of story or resistance or fear. Right? There's the sensation, and then there has to be an idea about it. Like one idea is, oh my God, what if it gets worse? Or, oh my God, what if I don't sleep tonight because there's so much sensation in my neck? Right? So like a fearful story, something that makes, or I wish it would go away. Right? So the question is, which one hurts? Which one hurts, the sensation or the story?
I always say both.
Yeah.
One to physical, one to your heart.
Right. And yet right now, you know, when you actually went to the sensations, you know, there's this thing that as the sensations get more intense, right, it takes less and less story in order for it to hurt. Right? It takes less and less, like, of this effort to, in a sense, what the story is, again, it's an effort to take your attention off of it, your awareness off of it. We think a better place to put my awareness is this story about what can I do about it. Right? And when you take awareness off of a really strong sensation, it hurts a lot. Right? If it's just kind of a mild sensation, you can take your attention pretty far off of it, and it will still like be uncomfortable, but not that bad. So the stronger the sensation is, it isn't really, the sensation itself still is never the source of the pain. It's just, it's a lot easier to have pain when the sensation is strong. I'll share a story. You know, several months ago, I do this thing. I've been treated for allergies, where I get cleared for an allergy. And as part of the treatment, I have to totally avoid or not touch the thing that I've been treated for 24 hours. Right? And so several months ago, I got treated for an allergy to aspirin and Advil, you know, all those kinds of things. Right? And I came home, and for 24 hours, I was not supposed to even touch the bottle of Advil. Right? And lo and behold, I started getting a headache. So, you know, it's like eventually it got pretty bad. In fact, it turned into a migraine headache. So I'm doing this because it's always, migraines are kind of mostly on one side, right? So I ended up laying down in bed, right? And I came to this kind of moment of truth. It wasn't like a big moment of truth, but it was still a moment of truth where I had to decide, was I going to go take some Advil, right? And what that would have meant is that I would have wasted $49. Right? Like I said, it wasn't a big moment of truth, but it was still a moment of truth, right? And I'm lying there, and it's like, if I take the Advil, in a little while, the headache will go away. But then I'll have to go, in a sense, I would have to go back and get treated again. That's why I would waste $49. Right? So I'm lying there, and I finally, you know, I find something in me just said, oh, no, I'll just lie here until it goes away. And I think maybe it's just because, you know, I no longer had any escape, right? I started just getting curious about the sensations, just like we were just doing, right? I started really paying attention to the sensations in my head. And what I found was, you know, that they move around, that at times there was actually no sensation, like right in the middle of a migraine headache, and right now I don't really have any pain, you know, any sensations. It's like, where did they go? And then, oh, well, there it is again, you know? Right? And then, and sometimes I notice it wasn't actually in my head, it was more like a wave of nausea in my stomach, right? And then that will go away, but then it'd be back here again. And I got really curious, like I was really paying attention to every, like, just sensing every little place that the sensation would move, right? Behind the eye, to the back of the head, down into the shoulder sometimes. And sometimes it would be like all over the side of my head, but then it would go right to this one spot, you know. I was watching all this, and I just happened to notice that while I was watching it, my whole body relaxed. It's like all of a sudden it was like I was very comfortable. And then I started to notice that the second I started thinking about anything else, paying attention to anything else besides the sensation in my head, right, my body would start to, oh God, you know, I could stand there. It was like, oh, you know, maybe I should take the Advil. And it was like, oh, you know, it was like I start squirming, right? And even if I like tried to think about something nice, right? Oh, I won't pay any attention to the headache. I'm just going to think about something else. Oh, you know, I could hardly stand it to be lying there. The sensations seemed like they were torturing me. And, you know, if I brought this attention back to the sensations, my whole body would relax. That's not so bad. Right? So, I'm not in any way, shape, or form a masochist, right? So I'm just going to pay attention to my sensations, right? I have no choice. It's like I don't have any, I didn't have any wiggle room. It's like 100% pay attention to the sensations and everything's fine. So I did that. I just kept paying attention to the sensations. Sensations, I got more and more relaxed and I fell asleep. Woke up a couple hours later and there was no headache. So like I said, when the sensations are strong, you can suffer with just a little bit of story. If even just an innocent little distraction. Right? When the sensations aren't so strong, your mind can wander. No problem. But the pain itself comes from this gap. It doesn't actually come from the sensations. It comes from that split, that
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll try that.
That's interesting. The pain comes from attention leaving the sensations. Pain comes from awareness getting lost in the story instead of staying with it. Very interesting. All right, so thank you for the extra 2 minutes so that we can finish listening to Nirmala. As I mentioned, he will be here in the sanctuary on February 15th. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time for our monthly satsang. And as Barb is pointing out, there's free books available on Kindle. You'll find free books available on his website. So you have time to check him out a little bit between now and then. You can also watch his Buddha at the Gas Pump video. And there's a lot more videos right here on his website where I played these 2 short ones. All right, that's it. Thanks for coming to the member meeting, y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Regina. That was great.